Well, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 tonight. Just to want to, there are about 4 billion people in the world. That's a lot of people if you really think about it. I guess 3.9, but about 4 billion people in the world. And different nationalities, different cultures, different sides of the world. Some people live in cold weather, some people live in super hot weather, some people live in jungles, some people live in Alaska and Greenland, those cold places. Some people have black hair, some people have blonde hair, some people have blue eyes. Some are male, some are female, but it all comes down to this one thing. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to hell. And that's not up for debate, because we're not in charge. We've never been in charge, and when man gets to be in charge, he messes it up just as much as we've all messed up in our own lives. Paul writes to the people of Ephesians. He wants to share some things, but I want to try to dig into that. We're going to be in chapter 2 of Ephesians in verse 1. I use the Holman version for the most part. I got a something here tonight. I'm using a little bit a different version down the road here, but Holman version tonight. He says in verse 1, "And you are dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient." What I see today is people are walking around on the earth all over the place in my world here. You see people walking in your world, and I want to tell you, you can be walking, you can be talking, and you can be breathing, but you also can be dead. Kind of like the whole thing of the zombie world. There's a lot of zombie people just walking around, constantly living a life, but they are dead. When we're born, we're already going to die. We're already dead individuals, but walking. That's the way it is. And you can't change it. The world is filled with people like this. It's like there's 4 billion. All of us Christians were walking dead people too at one time. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But the ways of this world is, it's sin. That's what it is. It is a sin. It is sin that causes us death. And you can't love the world. And let me read this. 1 John 2:5-17 says, "Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride in one's lifestyle, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever." Satan is the ruler of this world. He has authority here. He has nothing good intended for you or for I. He works in the disobedient. He works in those who do not live for Christ. He works in those who continue to sin. He wants to keep the dead dead. That's what he wants. He wants to keep the dead dead. We have a hard time understanding some of that because we don't want the reality of it is that some of our own family members are the walking dead as well. Walking back and forth. Can I also tell you that the world does not want people to come to Christ. The world will push and be a wedge between people and Christ. The world can never accept Jesus. People can, but the world will never accept Jesus Christ. It can't. Because the ruler of the world, the ruler and the one that has authority in this sinful nation is Satan himself. So the world is never going to accept Jesus. even in the end, they will still not accept Jesus. And we were once dead in our trespasses and sins. And we walked away. We walked accordingly to a sinful lifestyle. But he says in verse 3, we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out all the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath as others were also. We need to remember that too. We too once were dead in our sins. We need to remember that and not forget. But we also need to be careful how we look at others. We can't forget where we've been. We can't forget that we were once among the dead walking. But we got to be careful how we judge those now that we are alive. 1 Corinthians 2:10 in the Living Translation says this, so be careful if you are thinking, oh, I would never behave like that. Let this be a warning to you, for you too may fall into sin. Some versions may, at least you fall. We need to remember where we came from. We don't need to stay there, but we need to remember. There is a difference. I'm going to tell you something. Before you came to Christ, hell was your future. I don't think we quite understand that, but hell was our future. And tonight, there are several people that are going in this world, the 4 billion people, there's going to be people die tonight. And the Lord's going to bring some of them's going to come home to the glory in their spirit to be with Jesus. Man, that is sweet and awesome. Some of them is because of accident or illness or just something traumatic has happened. But some have been waiting to go home. But on the flip side of that coin, there are others tonight that are going have lived their best time, whatever it is here, they have lived their best ever because they're going to be separated from God. They are going to enter into the gates of hell, into separation from God, into a pain of a place of gnashing of teeth and suffering. And people say, how could a God be like that? How could God do that to us? No, it's not that he's done it. It's just that we've worked against him. And so we were all lost. Never take your salvation for granted. Never take Jesus for granted. He moves on, he goes, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, that's Jesus, even though we were dead in trespasses. He says, you are saved by grace. It's all about God. Our messages should be all about God. And if our messages and our preachings and our teachings are about us, it should be bringing us closer to God. Learning how God wants us to live. Learning how God wants us to be. Learning how God wants us to live as people that are alive. It says that God is rich in mercy. There's not one of you here tonight that has more mercy than God. And praise God for that. But he's rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy. He has an overflow and of abundance. He has a mercy for people. For people. He also has great love, and God has the biggest love for people. He has more love for people than you and I do. But he's wanting to teach us how to give mercy to people, how to give and show love toward people. And it's all here because of God's grace. It's because of His mercy and His love that He showed us by His grace that we are saved. So once we do that, now the dead man is now, once he receives that mercy and grace, and he receives and accepts Jesus Christ as God's Son, that what He did on the cross did happen, that we believe that Jesus shed His blood on the cross for the forgiveness and remission of our sins, that we can receive Christ into our lives and be redeemed from a dead life, being dead, and now come alive. I'm alive tonight. Not because I'm awesome, because I'm not awesome, but because God is awesome. Because of who Jesus is, I am alive. There's more power in me than what's in the world, because what's in me is greater. And that is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God Himself. I walk around just like you do. When you exercise the authority that God's given to you, and you walk around knowing that you are alive in Christ, and that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you walk around, you walk around amongst dead, lost people. You're working against the ways of the world. You're buffering against the ways of the world. I don't know if you understand that. Because once you are dead, once you come alive, you are now an enemy of the world. You are not of the world. You are not of the world now. You live in the world, but you're no longer of the world. You are walking around as a light in this dark place to share the gospel, to lead others out of the dead life into alive, to be alive. And Satan doesn't want that. The world doesn't want that. So it persecutes the believer. It persecutes the believer. But through persecution, God allows persecution, but He uses it for good. In the way that only God can do. That others that are dead will come to Jesus Christ and now become alive. You see, when you walk around, you're walking around as a special person. You're no longer dead. You're alive. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are very special. You accepted the gift that God's given to you. You are a special human being. You now have an eternal Father. You have an eternal home. There's eternal gifts up there in heaven. God's already waiting for you to come home. You've been engrafted. You're different now. You may have a last name. I have a last name. But whatever it is here, it's not going to be up there. I have one life to live. You have one life to live here. We all lived at some point to so many years as a dead person. But once we come to Christ, now we're alive and we ought to be able to live. And we should live alive and live for Christ to be the example for those that are living in this lost and dying world. And do you think it's abnormal when you share the gospel that they don't want to hear it? Or it's abnormal when they throw you curveballs with questions that you may not be able to answer? Because you cannot answer all questions. You think it's abnormal when you feel a little fear when you're getting ready to share the gospel or even just open it up about a spiritual conversation? That's evil in the mist. That's darkness in the mist getting between you, a live person, and a dead person trying not to. The goal is they know you've already are alive. You're a threat to the world. But to that dead person, now there becomes hope. Not because of who you are, but because who is inside of you. And you're a vessel sharing the gospel, living a light, and you begin to share that with someone there. That is a dead person listening. The world is going to get in the middle of that. So the battle begins. And the fight is on. The fight is on for lost and dead people. And here we find out that it is God, by God's rich mercy and His great love, that He had us, make us alive through Christ, even though we were dead. You've been saved by His grace. Not because you wanted to be saved, but because God wanted to save us. Get that in your head. God's in control. He's in control of salvation. And He made it one way and one way only, that is through Jesus Christ. Not by sacraments, not by special service, not by, it is by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Not by your pedigree, not by being a blue chip, not by being special, not by your education, but by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. That's it. Not about denomination or about grandma and grandpa. You are dead until you come to Christ. Then he moves on and he says this, together with Jesus Christ. I love that. Once we become alive, we do everything now with Jesus. Before, we did everything with the darkness. Whether you knew it or not, what did it say back up there in the beginning? The Spirit now working in the disobedient. You're either letting Satan work in your life or you're letting Jesus Christ work in your life. And that's it. This world is a one way or another way. It is black, it is white. It is the light, it is darkness. This in the middle stuff don't work. There's nothing real in it. He says, together with Jesus Christ, with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I live. I know that's telling you that you live. If you're alive here, you live. You live. And heaven already knows it. He already knows. They already know it. We already raised up. Our names are already, we're already raised up and seated in the heavens. We already got a place there. If you're alive in Christ, you already have a place in the kingdom of God. You already have a place in this heaven. You already have a place. Once again, you're either alive or you're dead. You're either alive or you're dead. But he shores it up and he says, for you are saved by grace. There's a little more to it. Through faith. You have to believe. God did amazing peace. All he's asking us to do is have faith and believe. You don't have to understand it all. He's not expecting you to understand it all. Once you're dead, when you're dead and you're coming to Christ, he don't expect you all to understand a lot of it. All he needs you to understand is this: my son Jesus Christ died for you. Are you willing to accept the gift of salvation to come from a dead life, a dead man, to being alive in Christ? That's it. And we throw all kinds of things on it, but it is just Jesus and Jesus alone. But it's by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. That's a gift that God's given to a broken and sinful world. To anyone that has addictions, to anyone that has done anything, it is a gift to God. It is a gift from God to all mankind, regardless of color, regardless of culture, regardless of nationality. It is a gift to all mankind. But all men, all women, do not always choose to take the gift. So they continue to walk in the world, even with maybe high prestigious positions in big corporations, or even in the political world, or even the military world. They do it, and they begin to build up their world and their status. And then one day, 65 years old, being all at this high pivotal point, doesn't even know that moment their plan, their death day was coming, and they had no clue, and they have a heart attack and step back and die. The world grieves nothing. A few people may feel a little remorse, but the world is already back here going, who are we going, who's next? And clawing at things already. I want to be in charge. I want this position. I want that, because that's the world. And the dead will bury the dead. And by that man's last breath, he's already taken residence into hell. with the other millions and billions of people that wish they could just hear the gospel there and receive it. But they won't, because they can't. They're separated from God. But in the world will continue to revolve around their sinful nature, and they'll fight for this position of these roles that they have, or these possessions, and they'll keep doing it, and they keep doing it because that's what the world wants. And it is the biggest lie that the devil's ever given. Those things will save you. And they save no one. Not when a person is in a position, and that person is at the same age, maybe 65, and steps back and goes to work that day and ends up having a heart attack. It's a little different for the ones that are alive. It only gets better at death. It's not that a funeral is filled with people just mourning. There's also a place where people may be mourning and sad, but they're still worshiping God with a broken heart. But there is also a joyful peace and knowing that it's not that I'll never see you again. It is, I'll see you later. It's not goodbye. It's, I'll see you soon. And it'll only get that to those who are alive in Christ. But the dead in Christ will bury their own. And they will meet each other up again, but it will be a place of pain and torment. So we need to remember we're saved by grace through faith. And it is not for ourselves, not from ourselves, but it is a gift. It is a gift. It is God's greatest gift to mankind. God gave a gift, His Son. But it was a beautiful gift for us. Kind of tells you how much God really loves man. But He says it's not from works. There's so many people trying to work themselves into heaven by whatever means or ways. They'll give everything they can give, but they will not give their heart to Christ. Because once you give your heart and your life to Christ, God is now in control. People are trying to do it all by their checkbook, what they do is they're doing it limited by what they want to do. If they want to give something, they do it with the limitations and usually strings attached on by what they want to do or to give. So it is not by works, because no one can do it good enough. There's going to be a flaw in there somewhere. No one can get it by works. Christ died on the cross. That's why He came, to destroy the works of the devil. That's what Scripture says. But so it's not by works, so that no one can boast. Never brag that I'm going to heaven because of what I did. It's all about what Jesus did. It's all about the mercy and love of God. He says, for we are His creation. I love this. A lot of people skip over this, but I love this. We are His creation. We need to get this in our thick head skulls. We are God's creation. We are God's creation. He's not ours. Listen, all those little g gods, and all those little idols, that's man's creation. That's man's creation. That's man making a religion. That religion's all about man trying to find a way to God. But when we look at it, we see God reaching down and finding a way to bring man to Himself. And only did it one way, through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. But the world makes all these little I's and all these little G's and all these little things that they want to worship and all these religions and all these things. But God created everything. We are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus. So I have a fleshly life walking in this world. But as a dead person, we just follow the ways of the world. But once we become a Christ and we become alive, we are recreated. As we say, born again. We have salvation, new purpose. God's created us, given us new creation through Christ. We're created in Christ Jesus. Now we're to do good works. Remember, good works didn't come first. Good works comes after salvation. So good works can't be, you know, people can do good things, but that's not going to get them to heaven. We need to remember that too. So the good works comes after salvation, but Jesus, but God gives us things for us to do some good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. So God, seeing that dead people are walking on this world, He gave Jesus Christ as an ultimate sacrifice. People come to Christ through salvation. They are dead, and now they become alive. Now when they're alive, we're called to live the rest of our life in the ways of the Lord. To do good, to do His good works, to live out the purposes that He has for us. And it's different now. We seek God for direction. We listen to the Holy Spirit for direction. We are no longer boss. We're no longer in charge of our life. Let me tell you, if you think you're in charge of your life as a Christian, I want to tell you right now, you need to take a big step back. God redeemed your soul by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are now part of the family of God, and you need to act like one. You're going to act like a child of God. You're going to mess up. I'm telling you. You need to work through that, get it right with God. But I'm telling you, He prepared us for some good things to do. And we are to walk in those good things. We are to walk in those. Listen, think about wherever you go all day. You're passing dead people all the time. And there may be only three or four people in their life that they're seeing on a regular basis that know Christ, are actually alive. And if you're not sharing the gospel, you're not trying to, you want to know why churches aren't growing? Because people aren't sharing the gospel. We're going to get to that in a few weeks. But people aren't sharing the gospel. This is flat out. We've come immune to walking among the dead. We've come immune to it. And I'm telling you, if there's anybody screaming right now for a second chance, it's those right now that have already lived a life here, separated from God, living in torment, wishing they could come back. And if they couldn't, they wish, as we see Scripture, wishing they could come back just to tell their family members, don't come here. Turn to God. Turn to Christ. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked, according to the ways of this world, and according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out all the inclinations of our fleshly thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with the Messiah. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. Together with Christ Jesus, He also raised us up and seated us in the heavens so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It is a gift. It is a gift from God, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. The dead come to alive only through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. If you are alive in Christ, you need to live as alive and living in this world, knowing, listen, I anticipate heaven in the future. I anticipate it because I know it's a promise. But also know this, I'm here for a time, for a season, for a moment, and I'm going to be done just like you. And there's enjoyments and things in life. But I need to keep my eye on the main thing. And the main thing is, I live in a very dark world just like you. I can turn my light down real low so nobody knows. And I can live amongst them. Or I can turn that baby right up and let it flame up there and get offended by people. And I've offended people because I have a walk and a love Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you this, in the end, for you that are believers, you're going to wish you served him at 110 capacity. When we see the awesomeness and the radiance of God himself, we're going to wish we served with everything we had. With everything we had. And then what we want. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many find it. But narrow is the gate that leads to the kingdom. And few find it. The only way is by Jesus Christ. That's it. And it's the best way, amen? Let me ask you this as we close. What has he ever done for you? Think about that as you stand. What has Jesus ever done for you? You got it? It's too big to mention, isn't it? And what have you ever done for him?